The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Happy Tuesday, March 30th, everyone. Hello to all of you beautiful souls. I call you that because every one of you is special to me for joining us on this show. I really value our audience here at Morning Invest, so I love the interaction. I love seeing all of you every morning in our chat and being a part of the show. This is the only morning news show that covers business news, personal news that's outside of the matrix, not plugged in to the billionaire machine that is the mainstream media. On today's show, are we in for the Great Reset? There are some troubling economic signs this morning, and the mainstream media has been glossing over a lot of them. Should you get ready? Should you be ready? How can you prepare yourself? That's the goal of today's show, is to prepare you for what is coming. On the stimulus front, President Biden forgives student loan debt, well, a little bit. Will it make progressives happy or sad? Plus, he's about to unveil his multi-trillion dollar next stimulus package in Pittsburgh tomorrow. We'll have a preview of that. Plus, don't fall for it, folks. The mainstream media is starting to push the war with China, but you're too smart to fall for it because you watched this show, and I've been warning you that this was going to happen for the past couple of weeks. And we had a segment that just aired a few minutes ago right before our show, and I grabbed it and I said, I've got to show this to my audience. So we will show that to you this morning. So if you want to be more informed every day and learn something new, you have to subscribe to our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox first thing in the morning between 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern. The best part is that it's free, totally free. Simply go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, you'll be added to our list. It supports our show, it keeps us doing what we're doing, plus you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. So you've got to check that out. All right, let's start with some stimulus update and the news on President Biden, where he tends to be on Wednesday. And, you know, the way that this is being portrayed is, you know, Biden is going to unveil a major new spending plan as Democrats eye a bigger role for government. He's set to unveil this massive, massive $3 trillion stimulus package tomorrow in Pittsburgh, despite calls to go smaller and not spend more money right now. And I don't know, that message is certainly not going to get through to Democrats, although they've been trying. And even former Treasury Secretary under Obama, Larry Summers, has gone from Obama's top economic advisor to one of Biden's loudest critics, saying that no way should we be spending this kind of money right now. And this is not an optimal time to be rolling out this massive infrastructure package to the tune of $3 trillion plus. And others are seeing it even larger than that. So what will we see tomorrow? Well, we are going to see likely the first stage of the infrastructure plan, which will not be the sort of humanitarian piece. We thought maybe, hey, they would roll all of this out at once and help the American people. We would see maybe additional stimulus checks like right away. It looks like it's going to be divided in two, and the second piece of this stimulus package will come within a few weeks, maybe at the end of April or even into May. But right now, this first part is green energy. It's infrastructure, it's sewers, it's roads, it's bridges, it's all of that. Now, there's some real questions as to where this money is going to go. So, you know, is it going to go to shovel-ready projects? We heard that back in the Obama years. Remember shovel-ready projects, which they weren't shovel-ready at all. So money got funneled to companies like Solyndra and other places, and they weren't ready. Or the money was misspent, and it was a boondoggle. So where will this money go? Will it go to concrete companies? Will it go to green energy companies? Will it go to water companies? We don't know. So we won't know until we see some of the specifics of this tomorrow. Then, of course, the uphill battle will then unfold and whether or not Democrats are going to go this alone. And it's looking increasingly likely because Mitch McConnell gave an interview last night where he talked about the infrastructure bill when he was down in Kentucky. And he said he didn't like where things were going. That, boy, if Democrats wanted to work with us on roads and bridges, we'd be there. We'd be happy to be a part of this. But right now, if they're going to go the budget reconciliation way without us, there's going to be trouble. And we think that we will stand in the way every step of the battle, every step of the way. Another big piece of this, the question has been whether or not we're going to see any larger student loan forgiveness. And we got overnight maybe a small piece of a student loan forgiveness. We covered it in the newsletter today. And it's really a tiny, tiny, tiny thing that the president basically did with just the sign, with the stroke of a pen. And it's nothing, you know, it's not very big. But President Biden fulfilled one of his campaign promises to forgive student loan debt in small bits and pieces. And you could not have done a more itsy bitsy version of this. On Monday, the administration announced that people with disabilities will have their student loans forgiven. In order to qualify, borrowers will have to be declared disabled by the Social Security Administration and therefore unable to work to earn an income to pay off their debts. Basically, the Education Department already forgives debt for people with disabilities, but many of them fail to fill out the paperwork, and then their loans get reinstated. This would up estimates of about 71,000 Americans. So this is a small, small ripple in a larger student loan debt pond of $1.7 trillion. So many of you have been asking here on the show, you know, is this, what's going on with the student loan forgiveness? Are they walking away from that? Well, it certainly doesn't seem to be on the front burner right now, does it? We do know that Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren, of course, had been pushing for this large $50,000 student loan forgiveness plan. But right now, I haven't heard much talk about that at all, except for that press conference a few weeks ago. And it appears that the Biden administration is focused full bore on this infrastructure plan. So any hope of a large-scale student loan forgiveness plan happening anytime soon, you can push that off. You can push that off for a few months at the very least. And maybe we'll have a renewed energy about it. And we can push more on that. I want to talk about the economy in a second, but first I want to tell you about our friends over at Stamps.com. Because here's how you can get a free digital scale right now just for signing up. And also save you the time and heartache of going to the post office. I mean, why in the world would you want to go to the post office? Number one, ever. Number two, during a pandemic. Like I can think of, it's like worse than going to the dentist is going to the post office. And what if you can go to a website that does it all for you at Stamps.com? And you get postage on demand. You can click instantly and calculate the exact postage you want. You can print labels on envelopes or plain paper. You can, you know, print out those ones that are sticky, put it right on a box and ship it. You can even have people scheduled to come to your house and pick stuff up so you don't have to deal with it, both from the UPS and from the United States Postal Service. And what's great is you're going to save money right now. You're going to get a free digital scale, okay? And you're going to get 40% off post office rates, up to 62% off USPS shipping rates. Not to mention Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. So there's no risk. And if you just put in my promo code, INVEST, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com and right at the top of the page, there's a little microphone at the very top. See that up there? Right there. And just type in the word INVEST. And that's when you will get that savings. So it includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. Our thanks to Stamps.com for making our small business and postage needs much, much easier. Thank you. Let's talk about the economy and what's coming. Now, a number of troubling signs that we are approaching the Great Reset. Now, the purpose of me doing this show today is I want you to be educated. I want you to take, you know, maybe some notes. If you're driving, great. Don't feel the need to grab a pen out. You know, you can go back and listen later or share this with friends. But I want you to be on the lookout for things that are happening right now in the economy, which are troubling. And the mainstream media isn't really covering it. They're doing passing segments about certain pieces of inflation. But because these large business media corporations are paid for by Wall Street, they don't want uncertainty in the market. They want the boondoggle times, the great rebound in the market. You know, things are going great for Wall Street. Earnings are coming out for a lot of companies. They don't want their big television channels covering these types of stories. In fact, Peter Schiff, famously, who was on Bloomberg on a regular basis, was kicked off of their air after predicting and accurately predicting the 2008-2009 collapse. Hedge fund Peter Schiff, right? So now Bloomberg won't ever have him back on the air. He predicted it and he was accurate. So instead, he has to go and be able to talk about these things on alternative media and warn people about what's happening. So I want you to pay attention to this, because if you've got your money in the bank and or you're thinking about what to do with your future, your 401k, et cetera, you need to pay attention to this, because the Great Reset can be looked at a couple of different ways. That coronavirus, you know, challenged our conventional understanding of capitalism, and now we see that it didn't work, right? That when, wow, and the whole everything shuts down, there's social unrest, environmental lockdown, and it doesn't work, and capitalism doesn't work, right? That's one way to look at it, this Great Reset. The other way to look at it is an opportunity to reset our environment after this massive lockdown. So everyone was locked inside, and the environment bounced back, dolphins were coming back to Venice, you know, all these things, right? So that's another way to look at this Great Reset. But I see the Great Reset as a term for this massive climactic event, when basically countries can't bear the weight of their debt any longer. They have slow economic growth, which is what we have now. We have massive debt. We have massive unemployment. And on top of all of that, we have social unrest. I mean, look at the social unrest we're experiencing in the country right now. All you need to do is look at the George Floyd trial to see how, you know, how what our fabric of our country looks like right now, fraying around the edges. People getting in fights over, you know, MAGA hats and God knows what else, masks, etc. Many experts thought this would happen after we hit a debt wall in the late 2020s, right? Like in a few more years, we were going to hit a debt wall and we were going to hit this great retest or this great reset. Well, guess what? This pandemic has now accelerated that decline. Here's Glenn Youngkin. He's a former Carlyle CEO, and one of his biggest concerns is these rising interest rates. He thinks this like economic turnaround right now that we're seeing is just a blip on the radar and that this is short-lived. Good for them to be able to talk about this. You know, few people talking about this. And bear in mind, okay, so he is running for governor of Virginia. So take that with a grain of salt politically. But if you can see through the politics, pay attention to what he's talking about here on interest rates.
Markets. And here we are again pursuing the typical Democrat process of let's go spend a lot of money that we don't have and then raise taxes. And this does not result in a durable economic recovery with great job growth. We saw it happen during the Obama administration. And so we move to this next effort, which I've heard as much as $4 trillion, really cloaked in the idea of infrastructure spending. And oh, by the way, we know we need more infrastructure investment in this country. But to actually burden taxpayers under the guise of an infrastructure bill when it really is the Green New Deal, and we actually have lots of private sector investment that could, in fact, cover this, particularly in areas like rural broadband. It's one of the biggest issues in Virginia today. And I just think that what we need to do is focus on delivering results. And so many of them can come from the private sector. Maria, I was just in Amherst County, and in Amherst County and Bedford County, Virginia, rural broadband's a big problem. And yet the idea of spending billions of dollars of taxpayer money to dig trenches is a 20-year-old solution, when in fact the private sector is figuring out how to deliver low orbit satellite technology today. And I see other states like North Carolina actually testing the use of low orbit satellite to get answers now in a much more cost-effective way. And yet we have the federal government now masking everything under the definition of infrastructure when it really is just a giant spending bill, and there are tax increases coming right around the corner.
So these tax increases is absolutely, well, perhaps, and we'll get to that in a minute. But one of the things that Glenn talked about was the value of the U.S. dollar, which has suddenly gotten really strong relative to the euro. So looking at this data this morning, it's important to understand, like, oh, that's great, right? That the U.S. dollar is stronger. That should be good for us, right? Europe is facing more lockdowns, and the United States is reopening, but the strength of a U.S. dollar leads to all kinds of other inflationary concerns. Former Obama economic advisor Larry Summers, we talked a little bit about this, continues to blast the Biden administration. especially in the stimulus plan. He warns it will result in a major inflation crisis. He says we're taking substantial risks, he told the Washington Post yesterday. He said this might not have struck much of a nerve if it didn't reflect concerns that were widely felt. And there are other big concerns that we are at the end of a big cycle right now. We're sitting at the end of a big cycle. And there are pretty smart people who are watching what's going on in the bond market, watching what's going on with the Federal Reserve right now. And they're saying, whoa, Nelly, you better not have your money in United States cash. You should not have your money in the U.S. dollar. Ray Dalio, famously, just a few days ago, said, you know, cash is trash. One of the smartest investors in the United States, in the world, Ray Dalio. Here's what he had to say about why he sees us at this end of this cycle right now, a really troubling end of this cycle.
It's just a manifestation. When there has to be a lot of selling of bonds, and bonds don't give any good return, there's a guaranteed negative return in bonds relative to inflation. Inflation index bonds yield less minus 1%. And so there's no return. And there's a pile of people who own bonds. And this isn't just Americans, but these are international investors owning bonds. And they have to buy a lot more bonds, because when the government has to sell a lot more debt, that means they have to buy a lot more bonds. There will not be enough demand for those bonds. When that happens, interest rates rise. That's what you're seeing now. And the central bank is put in a dilemma. This is all classic end of cycle type of thing. The central bank is put into a dilemma because either interest rates will rise a lot, or they will have to print money and buy those bonds to hold them down. When they print money and buy those bonds to hold rate down, that lowers real rates and it accelerates a depreciation of the value of the dollar. And it also raises inflation pressures. And what the imbalance, the frightening thing about this, is that if you get losing money, and people are losing money by holding bonds, and that's not just Americans, those are other foreigners, then they could sell bonds. And if they sell bonds at the same time as the government has got to sell a lot of bonds, that could produce a real dilemma. That's classic long-term debt cycle type stuff.
That's classic end of cycle stuff. I picture like Ghostbusters. Like, this is real wrath of God type stuff, what we're talking about here. Because I mean, to break this down a little bit for you on this bond cycle. Okay. This, look at the bonds right now, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield. It's going up and up and up, right? 14-month high. Not terribly, terribly big. But the problem is that these things cannot keep up with inflation. So when you're buying bonds, you're basically buying negative interest rates. I don't know about you, but do you want to be investing in things that produce a negative return? And so when we're selling this government debt, when we're selling government bonds, and you have the Chinese buying it up, and you have all sorts of international investors buying up U.S. debt at a negative return, like, what kind of market is there for that? Not very much. And when you, and that market is flooded with these bonds, that puts the Fed in an absolute predicament. That means they are out of tools. We kept hearing over the summer, if you've watched my show, how many of you here, show of hands, smash the like button. If you've been watching my show for 6, 7, 8 months, you know, at least in last summer, we were talking about Fed Chief Jerome Powell, that, you know, here he's Superman, right? He's got so many tools in his tool belt. He's going to be able to do anything. He's not out of tools. You know, bonds is one thing. He's got so many tools. But guess what, folks? That ship has sailed. They're out of tools. There's not much else they can do, if anything. Here's Lynette Zhang. She's very smart. And she believes that they are absolutely out of tools at this moment. Listen.
You know,
I mean, historically not high, but it's a 14-month high. So
that's the inflation rate. So now we're seeing inflation already ticking up, already going up. Get ready, folks.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, and what do they say? The Fed is saying, no, it's because the economy is just growing so well when they're pumping so much money into the system. So, yeah, I think they could be losing control.
So does this tie in? Because how do they regain control? What tools do they have in the toolbox to do so here, Lynette?
Just buying more product, buying more treasury bonds. By, you know, buying to push the yields down, yield curve control. And that's really, that's the problem. They're actually out of tools.
Out of tools? What else are they going to do? Push that yield curve down? What else can they do? So folks, the US dollar, I mean, what you're seeing now is a fracturing. And I think Peter Schiff nails it here when he talks about, you know, the mess that we're absolutely, he says the Fed is trapped. Now, I was saying earlier, Peter Schiff, of course, was kicked off the air at Bloomberg. Like, oh, like mainstream media, we can't have a guy on here telling the truth about it. So he was kicked off in 2008. He's not been invited back on since then. Here he is talking about how he thinks the Fed is trapped and they are out of options.
And so I would not put any stock into what any Fed chairman says. Because you always have to remember that these guys are there to tell a story and they always want to put a positive spin on everything. And even if they're concerned about something, they'll never admit it. Like when Ben Bernanke was at the Fed telling everybody not to worry about the mortgage market, subprime was contained. He later admitted in an interview after he was no longer Fed chair that he didn't really believe that. He was just simply trying to advance the administration's view that everything was great. And so he couldn't really speak his mind. He kind of had to act as if he was part of the Bush administration, you know, which I thought was a very telling admission that not many people picked up on. But I think Janet Yellen, or now Jerome Powell, rather, at Fed, Yellen's at Treasury. But I think Powell also fancies himself part of that Biden administration. And so he wants to say positive things. He can't say, oh, I think we're going to have really high inflation, because then, I mean, what is the Fed going to do about it? Well, you better raise interest rates. You better shrink your money supply. You better stop financing all these stimulus bills. So in order to validate their easy money policy, Powell basically has to say that any increases that we experience in consumer prices are just a temporary aberration. It's transitory and don't worry about it. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that what we're seeing now is the beginning of a very, very big acceleration in U.S. Consumer prices. Powell may think it's contained to a transitory event, but it's not. It's as much contained as the subprime crisis was contained. And I think the
Did you hear that part? Powell, of course, a few weeks ago said that we're going to see a little inflation here, but that's contained. It's not going to be long and we're going to be able to pull it back and it'll be fine. It's just going to be a little blip. Peter Schiff is saying it's not going to be transitory. It's not going to be small. In fact, it's going to be big. It's going to be as big as the subprime mortgage crisis of 2008, 2009. I mean, look at these numbers. U.S. Treasury, highest level since last January. Real big nerves right now in this economy. U.S. companies sounding inflation alarm from home builders to toy makers. The costs are rising across the board. Are you guys seeing it? Let me know in the chat below. Are you guys seeing it in any of your purchases? Mark, Cy Whitworth, Betty, Rocker, Trevor, Trevoria, let me know. Where are you seeing prices increasing? Are you seeing it in gas prices? Are you seeing it in food prices? We saw Netflix prices go up like a few weeks ago. They're charging more and more, right? As these companies are really getting walloped, they're sitting on mountains of debt. The U.S. government is sitting on a cliff of debt, and we're about to go off the deep end. And so Lynette, I think she, you know, what she talks about here is this real struggle right now with, and she sees, honestly, universal basic income. I think this is an interesting take on this. She sees a potential problem here, like the idea of universal basic income, the idea of making sure that people have stimulus money. This is going to push us over, unless we have one way to get away from that, which is to raise taxes. Listen to her thoughts on this. And I'm curious what you think on this piece.
Well, I do. But I also think that UBI is the real fuel for hyperinflation. And I think, you know, I'm not absolutely able to say as a technician at this point that the hyperinflation has begun. But, you know, Wall Street's certainly saying that inflation has begun. Mm-hmm. And we are witnessing, particularly with the current stimulus bill, a form of UBI, particularly it looks the most like it in the child care tax credit, where they will send you a monthly check starting in July. So, you know, UBI, people feel confident. They are not going to save because of negative rates. So it's a combination. But yeah, absolutely a setup to hyperinflation. I've listened to a number of people and they go, well, what about deflation? Well, we are fighting deflation because these asset values are in almost all cases, except for gold and silver, are so severely overvalued, and all they can do is pump more fiat into the system so that they stay reflated. There's only one way to fight deflation. That's with inflation.
So just print more fiat currency. Let's just pump more fiat currency into the system and see if that's how we solve things. And you're already seeing this inflation. So she's saying, look, I can't say that we're in this hyperinflationary period right now, but Wall Street's already seeing it. Businesses are already seeing it. I'm asking you right now in the chat. You're like, Robert Mendez says even McDonald's raised prices. Nancy Dubin says eggs in North Carolina, $2.39 and up now. Rick Hoyt says eggs up close to $4 a dozen. So even there's a disparity, Rick and Nancy, between the egg prices. And Christina Ellis says, so my question is, how can they not raise minimum wage with all this inflation talk? Look, so I come back to my earlier point at the beginning, which is social unrest. And when you have this massive income inequality in the United States, that's why I'm talking about this as a great reset. Something is going to give. You cannot have a society that continues on this path where you have millions of people unemployed. You have millions of people who just can't even afford the price of eggs. And these companies are making billions of dollars and not paying anything in taxes. So, of course, one answer, because I want to be able to provide at least one solution to this, which is the raising of taxes to be able to cover this. If the value of buying these bonds is negative, people are not going to be putting their money into savings. They're not going to be putting their money into banks. Banks are worried. Well, who's going to put their money into banks? Why would you put your money into a bank, a U.S. bank? And you're seeing the rise of crypto. You're seeing the rise, you know, you're seeing gold prices, silver, real estate. Again, I come back to these points that if you want to protect your assets, you want to protect your money, you need to be smart about where you're putting it. And by putting it in some of these alternative asset classes, I mean, gold, I hate even calling them alternative because to me, they're real. My friend Robert Kiyosaki even just like recently said, you know, like the reason wealthy people buy gold is because it's a real asset. What is paper currency? They can print it at will. And so Fed Chief Jerome Powell saying, you know, we'll just print more. And now you're seeing these inflationary worries, you know, on and on and up. Scary. And what are you going to do about it? We have so many people. And you're either going to have people rising up, wanting to throw off their government, or you're going to have to do something to make sure that millions of people who can't even afford the price of things, as these billionaire companies continue to rake in massive profits, and Republicans are whining that they're paying too much in taxes already, and moderate Democrats like Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema. By the way, I saw a nice stat this morning. Kristen Sinema, her approval rating in Arizona has plummeted since she came out against $15 minimum wage increase. She's suddenly not well-liked in Arizona. Any Arizonians watching this morning? How do you feel about Kristen Sinema, your senator, who voted against a $15 minimum wage? You have these companies trying to keep you from unionizing. I got a bunch of emails last night. I'm going to share a few of them now. I won't name your names, but a couple of you who work at Amazon sent me emails. And the stories you told me broke my heart. I won't name names, but one for a woman who was pregnant, had built up enough paid time off, 60 days she had accrued. Why not use it while she's having a baby, right? So she takes time off. You use an Amazon app, apparently, to put in your time off. You request your time off. It was approved. She shows up at work. When she gets back from her break, and a security guard comes to her and hands her a letter that basically says she self-resigned, that by not showing up to work, she had resigned. They then didn't qualify her for unemployment. And here's a woman who earned the time off because she would work countless hours on her feet all day, puts in the time off that she's owed that shows up right in her dashboard inside the Amazon app, and then she's fired. Another story yesterday from someone who works at another store, and talked about just the awful conditions. Another company told someone said, you know, that when they started working at, I'm not going to name names, another particular company, they were told how they had a class, a seminar on how not to unionize, how not to join a union. Like, this was part of their onboarding process. We're really taking care of our workers in the United States, aren't we? This is a system that is set to collapse. And I think it's pretty telling what Peter Schiff had to say about Jerome Powell. You know, at the end of the day, he's got to be a cheerleader. So he's going to go out there. He's not going to say something negative that's going to tank the economy. Wouldn't it be refreshing, though, for Jerome Powell to go out there and say, you know, we could be facing hyperinflation. I mean, watch what would happen to the markets. And let's not forget, on top of all of that, we have coronavirus. And so the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the new director, Rochelle Walensky, who's a brilliant doctor, by the way, and universally regarded among Democrats and Republicans, when Biden chose her to head up the CDC, everyone was like, yep, no better person. Brilliant, brilliant doctor. So at a briefing yesterday, she started crying. And you're seeing what's going on in Europe. And I just want this to be a bit of a cautionary tale, because what's happening right now in Europe, and we're seeing the decline of the euro against the U.S. dollar because of tightening and lockdowns and this COVID variant and God knows what else, with these vaccine problems and clotting and, I need a vacation. Anyway, she went off script yesterday and started crying and basically was like, look, we are on the cusp of beating this thing. We're close. And she was like, started crying. She's like, please do not let up now, because of these concerns about a fourth wave. Listen to what she had to say.
Forward to so much promise and potential of where we are and so much reason for hope. But right now I'm scared. I know what it's like as a physician to stand in that patient room, gowned, gloved, masked, shielded, and to be the last person to touch someone else's loved one because their loved one couldn't be there. I know what it's like when you're the physician, when you're the healthcare provider, and you're worried that you don't have the resources to take care of the patients in front of you. I know that feeling of nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice. And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside. I didn't know at the time when it would stop. We didn't have the science to tell us. We were just scared. We have come such a long way. Three historic scientific breakthrough vaccines, and we are rolling them out so very fast. So I'm speaking today not necessarily as your CDC director, not only as your CDC director, but as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, to ask you to just please hold on a little while longer. I so badly want to be done. I know you all so badly want to be done. We are just almost there, but not quite yet. And so I'm asking you to just hold on a little longer, to get vaccinated when you can, so that all of those people that we all love will still be here when this pandemic ends.
Mitch McConnell was asked yesterday in an interview, you know, hey, there's a lot of Republican men that are just not getting vaccinated. Is that a problem? And Mitch McConnell said, yeah, it's a problem. And he was like, look, if you're, I don't care if you're a liberal, Republican, whatever, get vaccinated if you're a man. Do it. Where do you come down on that? Let me know. Meanwhile, there's a national push for a passport, a COVID passport that President Biden is enacting. Governor DeSantis of Florida yesterday held a roundtable, basically making fun of that, and said that Florida would not need a COVID passport to fly into Florida. But also raises real concerns about, okay, so now we have to show you my medical history to get on a flight. And it might not even have to be a federal mandate. Like, what if certain airlines just decide? You know, what if Southwest Airlines, like, nope, you cannot board our flight. We're our own company unless you have a proof of vaccine. Will that go all the way to the Supreme Court? Will it be illegal to demand that someone gets a vaccine or has like a passport with a, shows their medical records of if whether or not they got a passport or not? You know, this is what we're facing right now. The big picture, though, on coronavirus right now is that cases are rapidly rising in the United States. In Michigan, New York, New Jersey, northeastern states. Ones that, of course, you had like Governor Cuomo out there saying what a great job he did, right? So New York cases are rising. New Jersey cases are rising. And a whole bunch of other northeastern states. Partially a result of these variants of the virus that are becoming more widespread. And they've also seen an uptick in travel and states loosening restrictions, also a big factor. So right now, the seven-day average of new cases has increased 10% from the previous week up to 59,000. And the seven-day average of deaths increased 2.6% up to 968 again. So going back up again. All of this to say that this infrastructure package will be massive. It will cost a lot of money. But if there is not a push to increase taxes on businesses to cover it, and we don't start to roll back some of this massive debt spending, there's not going to be anyone out there to catch us if we fall. There's not going to be international investors who are going to want to buy up these crappy U.S. bonds anymore, this corporate debt, this massive government debt. Who would? On the backs that it's the United States, at some point, though, that becomes an unattractive play. At what point does the United States become, you know, not the place you want to invest anymore? We're going to buy up all of this government debt. For what? So that we'll never pay it back? Would you take that deal? Doesn't sound like a great investment to me. And so the U.S. government is running out of options. And by the way, the American people are running out of patience. And I feel it. I see it, and I see it in your emails to me. I see it in your comments now. Like Elizabeth Kirby says, I'm scared. Michelle Edwards, Colorado opened up the vaccination to 16-year-olds. Yeah. Rick Hoyt says, yeah, we bailed them out many times, and they won't do it for us. Yeah, well, we bail out Wall Street. We take care of them during the housing collapse. No one goes to prison. We take care of them. And it's the American people who are left holding the bag, right? Do you remember Steve Carell's character in The Big Short? When he's like, it always is the little guy that ends up getting screwed. It always, always, always is. But the reason I'm bringing the story to you today is that so you do not get screwed. If we have an opportunity to not have your money sitting in a crappy bank where you're getting a negative return on your investment, where you're in a crappy savings account with the U.S. government, you've got money in U.S. dollars, where cash is trash, like think about how you can position yourself better. I don't see how this ship turns around. This is not like, this is, to me, it's like the Evergreen ship stuck in the Suez Canal. It's going to turn one way, and I just don't think it's going to turn the right way. Yeah, remember the 2008 bailout, Dean says? Yeah. Well, that's amazing, Kristen. Kristen says, I want to become a millionaire to lift up people who are in need. Yeah, Christina Ellis says, one guy went to prison as a scapegoat. That was it. Yeah, scapegoat. Right. And in Iceland, they locked people up and completely rebuilt their government so it wouldn't happen again. What do we do in the United States? We're doing the exact same thing over and over again. It's exactly what Peter Schiff is talking about. It's a repeat of what we did in 2008. And he's sounding the alarm about it.
Low inflation that we've enjoyed over the last 20, 25 years, I think a lot of that is through sleight of hand. I think that the CPI has actually gone, you know, has not really reflected the extent to which prices have gone up. So I think we're understating the increase in consumer prices. But I think a lot of the temporary factors that were kind of mitigating the increases, because America was able to run these huge trade deficits, we were able to export our dollars to countries like China, and China would warehouse the dollars, recycle them into U.S. treasuries, and then replace them with consumer goods. The Chinese were producing all these low-cost consumer goods for Americans to buy, and the rest of the world was helping out. And so these factors were mitigating consumer prices, plus a lot of the liquidity, the inflation that the Fed was creating, it went into the stock market. It went into the real estate market, you know, into the cryptocurrency market, you know, into the bond market. So I think a lot of these bubbles, as they deflate, the money is ultimately going to go into consumer prices, commodities, and things like that. And so we're going to we're about to see a tsunami of inflation. And, you know, whether the Fed is oblivious to it or just lying about it, you know, there's no way to know.
I think there is. You're already seeing it. You're already seeing it, folks. This is my point. You're already seeing it in your prices. You're already seeing it in your egg prices. You're already seeing it in your gas prices. You're already seeing it in your television prices, your Netflix. All of these places are showing up now. Your bread prices, your lumber prices. It's all here. Like, it's not a mystery anymore. And this was already in play. This was already happening. And the Federal Reserve can sit back and just continue to tell us that they've got tools in their tool belt. They do not. They are out of options. It's enough for Grover to just want to bury his head. I don't know, Daddy. I don't know. Here's something else I want to keep you honest about today. And it's the news media. So because you watch this show, I hope that I've, you know, at least imparted to you to what to look for when you put on CNN or Fox or any of these other networks and you see the narrative that they're spinning and you see this drumbeat now for war with China, because it's the only way they can justify spending trillions of dollars on a defense budget instead of helping you get out of poverty. They can continue to line the pockets of defense contractors if you think we have an enemy. And the enemy is now China, right? We've kind of moved on from Russia a little bit, but mostly it's now China. And you're going to start to see, as I've called, I said over the past few weeks, you're going to start to see news segments on television. You're going to start to see news articles about how China is a big threat from all of these big media corporations that are run by billionaires. Jeff Bezos, the Washington Post, the New York Times. You're going to see this in the Wall Street Journal. You're going to see this on Fox. You're going to see this on CNN, MSNBC, all of them. Segments about China and the coming war and how it's a major threat. And they'll cite unnamed sources, right? We were hearing that China's doing this. We're hearing. And they'll make big graphics that say the showdown with China. You know, China's our enemy. In order for us to justify all of the spending, we need to ramp up how many aircraft carriers we're producing. So this morning, right before my show, this happened, and I couldn't believe it, and I had to show you because this is exactly what I'm talking about. Watch this. Let's watch this together, shall we? And I just want you to take in, what do you see, first of all, here? I'm going to just, without even a news anchor opening her mouth, watch this.
A new report showed that...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you miss that? Let me re-rack that. I'm sorry. Here we go. Dun, dun, dun. By the way, why is there a little tiny N? Like they couldn't fit the thing. China showdown. It's the China showdown. You better get ready. Get ready, folks.
A new report showed that China could be flirting with the idea of seizing control of Taiwan.
China is flirting with the idea of invading Taiwan. Okay. That's a way to kick off it. Let's go.
as U.S. officials warn Xi Jinping is willing to take more and more risk to boost his legacy. Meanwhile, Taiwan reporting the largest incursion ever by the Chinese Air Force after 20 military aircraft entered Taiwan's air defense identification zone on Friday. Joining me right now is Fox News senior strategic analyst, General Jack Keane.
Oh, when you're new, well, who do you go to, right? You always go to a general. Can we get a member of the military on here to break this all down for us? Like, is China a threat? Yeah. Oh, thank you, General. Oh, you're a member of the military. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for stopping by. We always turn to a general to get our honest answers, right?
General, it's always a pleasure to see you. And this story is really chilling. After
oh, yeah, it's chilling. It is chilling, isn't it? Especially with that graphic, China Showdown.
What we saw on Friday. First, give me your take on what that was, this largest incursion in Taiwan's airspace from China. I'm also looking at a report here that says the U.S. Navy is worried that China will invade Taiwan soon. The current U.S. Pacific Fleet commander finds it likely that tensions between Taiwan and China could erupt sooner than anyone thinks. Your expectation and reaction?
Yeah, well, I certainly do agree with the basic premise here.
Okay. I'm shocked. Thank you, General. I agree with the basic premise that they're going to invade. Okay. Man, thank you for your analysis.
The threat that mainland China is making to Taiwan. What that recent incursion was over 20 aircraft, 4 bombers, 10 fighters, and then some other aircraft down in the southwestern part of Taiwan in the vicinity of their offshore islands. Well, in terms of what the admiral is saying, my take on it is while an invasion of Taiwan or seizing some, quarantining it or seizing some of the islands is not imminent, it's getting increasingly likely.
Okay, so just want to make sure we're building up the war here. You're going to hear more and more of these segments. We're building up the war.
That this will take place. The activity really got put on fast forward after President Tsai was reelected in January of 2020, and she ran for reelection on an anti-mainland China ticket, touting the independence and the democracy and capitalism of Taiwan. The majority of the people gave her a confidence vote. She won decisively. And then these military incursions, which were always taking place, began to really step up. And just recently, they've increased even more dramatically. And here's why everyone is concerned.
Yeah, tell me, General, why is everyone concerned?
One, Taiwan cannot defend itself. It has military capability that we've been providing it for its years.
Okay, so I'm sorry. They can't defend themselves. We've been giving them military support for decades. Why are we doing it then if they can't defend themselves? Like, what's the point? As Rumpelgold just asked in our chat, said, why is it our concern that China has any quarrel with the Taiwan? Like, why is that our concern? Good question. It's a valid question. But if we've been providing massive military support to Taiwan for decades and they can't defend themselves, isn't that just an admission of the amount of money that we waste routinely?
But it's no match for the Chinese military, for sure. But the idea is that Taiwan would impose enough cost on any invasion to delay the success of that invasion that would permit the United States and allies to come to the assistance of it.
Okay.
And therefore, that in of itself would be a deterrence. But
so that's why. So it's not about war, folks. We're not going to get into a war with China. It's the deterrence, right? It's that we've given them enough military aid in Taiwan to defend themselves temporarily, enough to put up a threat until the United States, until all of these new ships and aircraft carriers that we're building on the backs of taxpayer dollars when you don't have enough money to buy eggs. So we can go there and be a deterrent, and we can continue to lie in the pockets of these billionaires and defense contractors and the military-industrial complex. And we are no safer as a result of it. Do you feel safer? I sure don't. But thank you, General, for your strategic analysis. That's how this works, by the way. And if you didn't know, back in the 1970s, of course, members of the military had invaded news networks covertly. They were placed inside news networks covertly to drive stories a certain way. Of course, this was all outed and it was revealed. And now they no longer do that. Now they just get hired as analysts. Instead of now they've got general, we're going to go to General Jack Keane now for his analysis. They do it at MSNBC. They do it all over the place. CNN. If you're a former general who's a warmonger, you get hired by news networks to continue on this path. Beat the drums, but don't fall for it. So hey, if you see any of these types of segments, let's keep them honest. Send them to me. I would love to feature them here on the show. But I'm telling you, this is the kind of stuff that the sheep who just sit there blindly with their remote control in their hand, flipping around those news networks, and they're like, oh, China. Yeah, honey, China. They're at it again. Yeah, we got to spend more money on the military. That's how they get you. And they're full of crap. And it's all propaganda aimed at lining the pockets of these people. But we are smarter than that. Watch the Secretary of State series. You'll understand why we do these things, Kathy Burke says. Yeah. Thank you so much, T. Flint says. I've been following the show for a year and I've learned so much. Much kindness to you. Thank you. Rob Jacobs says, I will fall for it no more. I mean, yeah. Thank you for your view on this BS. Thank you. Well, thank you guys. So that is the news. I want you to be aware of where you're putting your money right now. I want you to be paying attention to these things. You're going to be paying it. You're going to be seeing these things over the next. Here's an opportunity right now. You could be putting your money in like an alternative savings account. If it's available in your state, like we use Outlet. If you go to morninginvest.com/outlet, it's backed by Ethereum. I mean, look at crypto this morning. Bitcoin is up 58,000, up 1% already today. So these alternative currencies right now, and that's why there's a lots of fear. You know, what will some of these governments try to do to cryptocurrency? They're going to create their own stable coins very soon, probably by the summer. We'll see the Federal Reserve try to stem inflation by creating their own coin, their own digital currency. And that's an opportunity for them to try to also ward off some of this inflation. They say they won't do it without the backs of Congress, but we'll see. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Let's open it up for some super chats now and take a look at what you guys have been trying to pop in here. Yes, Derek, David is not here today. He is off. Let's see. Let me go back here. So BK Dan, I think I already responded to you about, you followed our story about BLAGF, that stock, and you made some good money on that. That's awesome. You made $400. Going to celebrate tonight and buy some dinner. Awesome, BK Dan. We got a couple new channel members. You can support independent journalism by becoming a channel member. Just go to morninginvest.com/join. And for price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support our show. We are not run by billionaires. So the way that you can support us is totally free. Just, you know, smash that like button. You can share the show with anyone. And are you a subscriber? It's totally free to subscribe to our show. If you're watching us on YouTube or on Twitch, you can follow us, or Facebook, you can follow us there as well. So very, very easy to become a subscriber. We do this show every morning live at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Ralph Mucci says, why buy DCSX when it has no volume or trading? Actually, it's up 20%, but hey, do your own homework on trades. I just tell you like what I buy, and it's totally up to you, but up 20% at 52-week high, by the way. Graham Goldthorpe, Blue Lagoon, I like to invest, but isn't available. Oh yeah, I mentioned that. So if you want to invest using in some of these OTC stocks, best thing to do is to use an alternative brokerage, one of the big boy brokerages just for OTC, like E-Trade or something like that. Paul Lucy Knish is a new channel member. Thank you, Paul. BK Dan says, wait till your grandkids are that age. You'll wonder how you made it without them. By the way, I used TD Ameritrade for Blue Lagoon. Oh, awesome. I know. Family Hero Channel. Everyone, please grab yourself a sweater and a Grover mug. Grover calendars are coming soon. Yes, we are working on those. So here's our sweatshirt. That's probably one of my favorite sweatshirts. You can go to morninginvest.com/store if you want to check out everything we've got over there. And social estate t-shirts. Someone emailed me, or no, someone left a comment on one of the YouTube videos the other day. It says, Clayton, why don't you ever talk about socialism? And I just started laughing. And I said, are you kidding? I have a social estate t-shirt in our store. Do I talk about socialism on this show? Yes or no? Do I talk about we should not be scared of it and that we've been lied to about what that actually means and looks like? Imagine if we had a government that took care of its people. And socialism, by the way, has never existed. It's never been in any government in world history. The purest definition of socialism had never existed. People point to like, yeah, but you want to wind up like Scandinavia and Norway. Yeah, I do. It's not a socialist country, by the way. It's a market economy that takes care of its people. Kara Openshaw, good to see you. Thank you for your super chat. Good morning, I'll just set my pet photos eighth time. Amy Perkins, any news? Eighth time? Oh, Amy, I didn't get to him today because David was off, but I promise you I will make sure I get him tomorrow in the show. How does that sound? Amy Perkins, I will look. Sometimes when people send their photos, you know, we do get thousands of emails, but sometimes people send them, and if the file size is too big, your email provider might not even send it. So you might be thinking you're sending it to us, but you might want to check your outbox, because sometimes, like, large file sizes, depending on what type of phone or camera you used, if it's a large megabyte file photo, it's not going to send. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to send a file like that, and I'm like, I sent it last week, and I go into my outbox, and it's stuck there. So just be careful about that. Patrick Duhon, am I saying that right? Duhon? Patrick Duhon. Thank you for your super chat. Reminds me of Montgomery Scott from Star Trek. What was his name? Duhon? James Duhon, who played Scotty. D Solo is a new member. Thank you, D. Kara Openshaw says I should name the studio the Golden Nugget. Doesn't like the Golden Nugget, wasn't the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City? Like the Golden Nugget Casino? Kristen Swenson says, hey guys, anyone a tax expert here free today? I need someone to take a look at my 1040C and see why it keeps getting kicked back from the PPP funding place. You can invoice me or I'll PayPal you. Kristen, did you get any takers on that? Any tax experts in there? I know Michelle Edwards is here today. Oh, Michelle got it. Okay, good, good. And I know John is here also, probably. Where is the stimulus for... Sergio, thank you for your super chat. Where is the stimulus for people on SSA, SSI, SSDI? No payment status, and why are we not talking about this? Good question. Well, we did talk about it. We talked about it on the delay. If you joined us on Friday's show, we talked extensively about the delays from Trump appointee at the head of the SSA, and basically not getting the files over to the IRS so that that stuff could be processed. Then, and after news reports came out about it, he said, we're going to get it over here by the end of business or probably Monday morning. So now, hopefully, it's in the hands of the IRS, and they're going to start to process that stuff. Unbelievable, though, that like the people that are supposed to get it first are now getting pushed off because of politics. Deanna Enlow, thank you for your becoming a new channel member. And you upgraded to VIP, Deanna. Thank you so much. Deanna went from a new supporter of the show up to a gold member, up to a VIP member. Sergio, I think I did, didn't I? I just read yours, Sergio, on SSA, SSI, SSDI. So from what we had on Friday, the reason we were seeing these delays is from the head of the Social Security Administration, who's a Trump appointee, who has wanted to like basically whittle the Social Security Administration apart. There's calls for him to be fired, but he's got a job through 2025, and he serves at the pleasure of the president, unless the president steps in and fires him. Man B, 1986, thank you for your super chat. My dad is disabled, has been trying to get the disability forgiveness for years. They always tell him he's not disabled enough to meet their standards, although he's on disability. Yeah, it's awful. What you're talking about, of course, is this education department forgiving the student loan debt or disabilities for people on disabilities. Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. We want to call it student loan debt forgiveness, but really, it's just like a clerical thing. It's nothing as big as what Chuck Schumer wants. Jay DeVee says, what should I do with my cash? Okay. I'm not a financial advisor, so you need to do your own homework on this. But if it were my cash, I would have it in some form of alternative savings account, you know, whether it's outlet or putting it into stable coins, putting it into crypto. I mean, you can open a Coinbase account, or work, like a Binance account, like I use for alternative altcoins, put it in BTC. That's what I would do. That's what I do. Put it in some other stable coins, put it in, USDC, USDT, and Tether, put it in Ethereum, which is rising. And then, of course, putting it in gold and silver and real estate. Real estate is perhaps the ultimate hedge against inflation. Real estate has for 4,000 years, when inflation's hitting 2%, 3%, real estate's rising constantly. It's always been a hedge against inflation. And no better asset to provide tax benefits for than real estate investing. So it depends on what cash you're looking at for down payment purposes, but interest rates are hit historic lows, so maybe taking advantage of some of those interest rates before those go up a little bit. Now, there's some troubling signs on the housing front, so maybe you want to lock in some of those rates now. Catherine Lavelle says, if the chickens at the GOP hatch come home to roost while Democrats are running the farm, who will the public blame? Who do you think? That's the way it is in politics, right? President Biden right now has very high approval rating. So he is hitting the road, going to talk about the stimulus and talk about this new infrastructure bill. He is very popular right now in approval. And so he can ride that wave of popularity. And guess what happens when the economy goes south? They blame the person in charge. That's the way it works. Dylan Woodring, thank you for your super chat. By the way, it's very important to talk about this because, if you understand history and you understand politics, you know that the president of the United States has very little to do with the economy. I mean, they can make some changes here and there, but very little to do with the broader economy. I mean, President Biden comes into office and the United States is sitting on over $20 trillion in debt. He's been here 60 days. You think that's his fault? No. Is it Trump's fault? No. It's an accumulation of American policy. So all of that debt, all of that government at the central bank, remember, these are not political appointees. They're not elected officials at the central bank. They run the show. I mean, that's the secret government behind the government, what the Federal Reserve does. Is it Biden's fault? Is it Trump's fault? No. So it's something but we always forget that, right? We always want to blame who's ever at the White House, but that's the way it works. Of course, when we have major policy changes, though, like a massive tax cut for the rich, certain things that happen as a result of that. Or maybe we put in place some new universal, larger child tax credit. Okay, how are we going to pay for that? What are we going to do here? How's that going to, that's great that it lifts so many people out of poverty, but do we have a plan for it? Todd Halfaker, thank you for your super chat. Says, building a house. The cost of simple 2x4s in my area have doubled. $3.25 up to $6.30 last I checked. Not crazy until you're buying 100 of them at a time. Holy smokes, Todd. Maybe it's time for the United States to get away from wood frames. Go toward maybe like what the rest of the world does. I talked to a lot of different real estate developers in other countries, and they're like, we don't understand. Why does the United States build with wood? Like, it's cheap, relatively speaking. What about concrete? Like, what if they did, I don't know. And then we wonder why we have hurricanes or, tornadoes that wipe whole cities, and they can't wrap their heads around it. They're like, we see the American news. We turned it on, and there's always like a tornado that tears across a field and rips all these wood-built houses down. Family Hero Channel, thank you for your super chat. Every politician that votes no to helping us, remember their names and vote them out. We need UBI, Medicare for All, and raise the minimum wage. Yes, 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 yes. James Gilliam, thank you for your super chat. Aboroxo, I can't say your name. Aborox, $5 super chat. With medical insurance and student loans taking too much spending power from workers and low wages, it's a recipe for disaster. Grin and bear it. Blue Orchid. It's always been this way. I'm 40, and when I was 16, we were shown anti-union propaganda pamphlets in every workplace I applied to and videos that we had to watch at intake. Really? I never had to watch that. That's amazing to me, but not surprising. Lisa Pettit, thank you. It's easy enough to keep out unions. Treat your employees well, and they'll have no reason to unionize. Not rocket science. Yeah, good point, Lisa. Michael Dykes is a new channel member. Thank you. Family Hero Channel, possibly a socially distanced meet and greet. I've never met one of my heroes and would love to. That is very, very kind. Penny Yod James, I have a blood disorder and the stuff they use in the vaccine I can't have. Is that true? Wow. Oh, we've been hearing about these blood clot problems. Cher Marie, thank you for your super chat. Says a close friend of mine works in a nursing home because one worker with COVID, all the patients in the memory care died. Please get vaccinated and wear a mask. Wow. Tony Jocelyn, where do we put our money? So Tony, I was answering that question a few minutes ago. You know, again, alternative assets. Again, Ray Dalio specifically talking about cash being trash. It is trash. I mean, here's what he had to say on that cash is trash question.
So let's talk about Jay Powell's dilemma right now. You describe it as a dilemma. He appeared this week and basically took a hard look at the debt market, at the treasury market, looked in the eye and said, I'm not going to do anything to help you. And they didn't like it very much. And so the 10-year kept going. At what point is there enough pain? And what form does that pain take? Is it really financial conditions tightening? I mean, does it have to get to be 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4?
Well, as I said, think of the economy as being like an individual in and their pulse is dropping. When the pulse is dropping, the doctors come running in with the stimulant and they inject stimulant. Now that the economy is rebounding, and inflation pressures are rebounding, there's not the same pressure to administer that stimulation. When it happens, when it becomes a problem, is first the rising interest rates start hurting financial asset prices. First, typically they hurt bonds, then they pass through and hurt stocks. Because still interest rates affect stocks. And when that starts to affect stocks, that's one thing. Maybe the stock market can correct 10 or 15% and the Federal Reserve can tolerate it. When it goes beyond that and starts to affect the economy, that's when you see the real trade-off have to surge.
Yeah, surface. And that's the consumer prices. And that's what we're seeing now, these price of wood and all these other things. William Ryder says, how come we can't pass legislation limiting interest rates companies and banks are allowed to charge for loans and services while also increasing interest received from investments, savings, etc.? Imagine the U.S. government getting involved in like what interest rates can be set. I mean, like a new world order for that. I'd love to see that try. Amy Falks, thank you for your super chat. Catherine Lavelle, I'm getting vaxxed. My husband, my GOP husband, is refusing. I wish he'd change his mind, but he doesn't vax. If he steps on a nail, he'll die of tinnitus. Tetanus, sorry, not tinnitus. Tinnitus is the ear ringing, right? Tetanus. Catherine, I'm sorry to hear that. Stephanie Maxwell, please keep trusting in the Lord's process and keep believing his word. Thank you, Stephanie. Jay DeVee, I'm a millennial and I was in school, so I didn't understand what was happening in 2008. How many economic crises am I going to have in my adult life? Well, you know, it seems like they're cyclical. We have like a 10-year trend and not necessarily a crisis, but we have a bit of a retest every 10 years. And we went beyond it this time. And, you know, arguably, it probably wouldn't have come or it might have been shielded had it not been for the pandemic. Then the pandemic hits and we get to see all of this like underlying problem, you know, underlying debt problems, how much we're, how, you know, how much we're in debt to other countries. We're also seeing this massive amounts of corporate debt, which we've been able to shine a light on that this time around. Because, oh, you're taking PPP money. Surely you're going to spend that on employing people. And what we see is that, no, they're just spending it on buying back shares, or they're you know, not hiring people. And they're not even reinvesting in themselves, not through research and development. Tara Darnell says, I'm under 59. Should I try and roll over my IRA into gold? Again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do. But when I'm looking at gold as a stable currency, as a stable asset, and even when you have, well, Jerome Powell last week talking about crypto being a substitute for gold, I personally, that's where I have my money. So again, you know, do your own research into these things, but I would, you know, that's, or real estate. Like if you've got an IRA, you know, being able to put your money into real estate as a down payment. Like you don't need to buy a whole house. You can buy the down payment and have the house inside the self-directed IRA, producing cash flow inside that account, tax-free. Now you're 59, so you're right at the age when you'd be able to start taking that money out of an IRA. But nevertheless, like it's an amazing tax vehicle. Sergio, thank you for your super chat. Yes, I did read it earlier, and he became a new channel member. Thank you so much, Sergio. They were supposed to have a time frame by Friday, Sergio wanted to know, on the SSI. Well, they were supposed to on Friday or into the weekend, they were going to hand over the files from the SSA over to the IRS. And for one whatever reason, those were held up. The reason the IRS couldn't process those for the Social Security benefits is because look, that's handled by the SSA. So the IRS doesn't know who's new, who's now on disability, who's been added, who's, you know, so please, can you get us that information over at this department? So they were waiting on the SSA to get them this information. Ridiculous that they had to wait for it, isn't it? Derek Eads says, Clayton, would you recommend Webull for beginners to invest in? Absolutely. It's easy enough. If you are interested in Webull, I'm a big fan of them. That's my main brokerage of choice that I use. And so if you go over to morninginvest.com/Webull, you will get two free stocks and two free stocks valued up to $1,800, and it'll be kind of randomly generated what they do. But you'll be entered into a chance to win a free premium stock also, like an Apple stock, Google stock, Facebook, etc. So just go to morninginvest.com/Webull. You get two free stocks. You get Starbucks, Procter & Gamble, Facebook, etc. And that's where I do all my trading. I really like it. It's super easy. Their desktop app is really awesome on the Mac. That's what I use for tracking that stuff. And that's where I buy my Bitcoin, by the way. I buy a lot of Bitcoin inside of that app. So I hope you'll check it out. Well, thank you everyone for an awesome show. Thank you guys for allowing me to walk through this process and what I see this great reset looking like. And, you know, we're prepared, you know, being educated leads to us being prepared. So I want you to have this information at your fingertips. I want you to be able to plan for your family accordingly. Don't wait. Okay, if you're thinking about, you know, putting money in alternative asset classes to protect yourself, you know, do your research and take it upon yourself to get educated on that. But I don't want you to be sitting there and we end up having a recount. You know, we end up having another 2008, 2009 all over again. Well, Wall Street gets and does fine because we end up bailing them out and then you get screwed. So please protect yourselves. We'll be back tomorrow, first thing in the morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. By the way, if you're interested in real estate investing, this afternoon we'll be doing a live show on our real estate investing channel. It's just youtube.com/MorrisInvest. So you can come back. We're going to be doing live. We're going to be looking more deeply at the markets. So feel free to join us there if you're interested in real estate investing. I am not taking the day off. I need to go rest my voice a little bit, though, because my throat's starting to get sore. So I need to go do that. I need to not talk for a few hours. And I'll be back here later this afternoon with another live on our other channel, just our real estate investing channel. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here real soon. Be safe, be kind, and have a good afternoon, everyone.